We'll turn to Revelation chapter 5. We've already read the entire chapter. Revelation chapter 5. As we prepare ourselves to commemorate and remember and show forth the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read the chapter. This is a vision by John. There's much we could say, much we could, I suppose, explain. But there's a text I want to zero in on, keeping in mind what we're about today, as we're about to receive the bread and the cup to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The text is this, verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In this vision, John sees Christ Jesus represented as a lamb. A sacrificial lamb that was slain. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. Earlier in verse 6, you see, a lamb as it had been slain. That is, a lamb bearing the wounds of his slaying, having been killed as a sin offering. That is what this is showing forth. And speaking of the death of Christ, then. Now, in verse 9, the 24 elders spoken of and the four beasts worshiped the Lord Jesus, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." First, just a word here about beasts. You see beasts translated from several different Greek nouns. And you see it, for instance, with the Antichrist as representing a dangerous animal, a carnal, fallen, evil, wicked man opposed to God. You see it used that way, translated from that Greek noun. But here it's translated from a noun that means a living creature. These are living creatures. These are not dangerous animals. These are worshiping God. And I will tell you that you have to consider what the scriptures say. Well, we better not go off into this. But the beasts say, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God." So now aren't we talking about the Church of Jesus Christ? Aren't these beasts representing either the church as a whole, or there are many views of it. Some say these are the ministers. Some say it doesn't matter. But I want you to know that these are emblematic of something else. When you get to heaven, don't look for beasts like this flying around, is what I'm trying to say. Now, without going any further than that, another day. Revelation 5, verse 12 is the text, and we see a great heavenly host, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." We've just read in verse 9 that this Lamb is worthy, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And so we're dealing with Jesus as worthy of all this honor and glory and power and riches and wisdom and strength and blessing on account of his redemptive death for the church, for us, for the elect. Now, Jesus is worthy simply because he's a king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. But in this text, in this chapter, the context, the emphasis, is on Christ's substitutionary, redemptive death for sinners. And he's called here the Lamb that was slain. He's called in other places the Lamb of God. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," when he saw him. Peter speaks of the precious blood of Christ by which we are redeemed as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Revelation 13, verse 8 speaks of him as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. No one has ever been saved except by faith in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those in the Old Testament who were justified, it was by the blood and righteousness of that coming Messiah, said to be slain from the foundation of the world, because God graciously applied His merit and cleansed them with the blood yet to be shed, which had to take place in time. And yet, if they put their faith in Him, God graciously did it in time. And then it was fulfilled in Christ on the cross. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, suffering as the church's sin bearer. He's worthy. I wonder what you're thinking now. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that was killed, that suffered, that died, that writhed in agony on the cross. I wonder what you're thinking now. This sounds interesting. I wonder what else he'll say. I wonder how long the sermon might be. Well, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking. I know some are thinking of the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I hope you all are. I can't see your hearts, I can't see your minds, but I hope you all are. I hope you're spiritual men. When I say worthy is the Lamb that was slain, I hope that you consider the crucified Christ dying for you if you're in Christ. Worthy is the Lamb. He was slain as the church's sin bearer. Worthy is the Lamb who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're talking about the crucified Christ Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who condescended to be made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Worthy is the Lamb who redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, offering up his own life on the cross as our redemption price. Worthy is the Lamb who was wounded for our transgression, who was bruised for our iniquities, who was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, who was taken from prison, from judgment, who was cut off from the land of the living. Why? God says, for the transgressions of my people. Worthy is the Lamb who was put to grief. Worthy is the Lamb who suffered the full wrath of God, the full wrath of God that was against us. He suffered immeasurably in his soul on the cross, suffered as you and I, as Christians, we will never be able to comprehend the depth of his suffering, because his suffering was of inestimable worth. Only he could propitiate the wrath of God for his people. He drained the last drop of the cup of God's wrath. This is the Lamb we're talking about. This is the Lamb that was worthy. This is the Lamb that was slain, given over to wrath and death by God to satisfy the law's charge against us and to make an atonement for our sins under the law. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that loved us and washed us with his own blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God help us to see his worthiness. God help us to see our own unworthiness. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In eternity, God the Father and the Son entered into a covenant to redeem to redeem from fallen mankind a people elected to salvation. The scriptures don't mention the word covenant in that regard between the Father and the Son. They don't mention the phrase a covenant of redemption. We use it to describe something that is there. And reduced down to its simplest form, I mean the very, very bare basics, the Father gave a people to the Son, whom He then undertook to redeem. A people whom the Father would impute their sins to the Son for Him to make atonement. A people to whom the Father would willingly and gladly and righteously impute His Son's righteousness, His obedience, in order to justify them legally by grace through faith. And this is the work of the Spirit on our hearts, this work of faith. Now, to be the substitute and to be the head of the elect, Christ Jesus must be made like unto His brethren. He must needs join His deity with the nature and the flesh and the soul of a man. We ought never to get tired of thinking about that. How this Jesus Christ became the one mediator between God and man, being both God and man. Two natures joined together, not mixed, but not separate. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Aren't these wonderful truths? These are truths. These are eternal truths. When you pray, do you say, Lord, I believe Thy word? That's what I say. It brings me great comfort because I know I believe His word. But sometimes I'm so weak and sometimes I can be untrusting, but I know I believe His word. And when I acknowledge that to God, then He gives me more light when I acknowledge that from the heart. And it's true. I believe His word. It's not a burden to me to read His word, to hear His word preached, to look into His word, to learn more and more. It's not a burden. I'm not waiting until I can do something else. I believe His word and all the wonderful spiritual treasures that it contains and all the promises of God. Now, it's beyond our comprehension to fully understand how the Son of God was by the flesh conceived in the womb of a virgin. We can't fully understand that. We don't have the ability to fully grasp how the second person of the Godhead, while retaining His deity, yet entered into this state of humiliation. And though being the Son of God, He still willingly submitted Himself as an obedient servant to the Father. I'm saying He was, it's all the fullness of the Godhead. And yet He submits Himself to the Father. And yet He takes on our nature. Yet He is conceived in a virgin. Born of a virgin, a little baby. And though He were a son, the scriptures say, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. He obeyed by nature. He had an impeccable nature as a man, but He experienced obedience. That's what that means. He literally experienced it, and He was an example for us. And being found in fashion as a man, He wasn't just an example. If He would not have perfectly obeyed, He could not save us. He was our law keeper in our place. Adam fell. He was the first head of mankind. The federal head of all mankind, we all fell in Adam. Christ is the head of His church, and in Christ all live, all who are His people, who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're talking about His death. And it says here, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're talking about why He's worthy, why He's so worthy of all of our honor and all the glory that He has and our blessing, our praising of Him, our worshiping Him. Now, it's hard to understand, as I say, God made man. And it's harder still, I believe, for us to comprehend. We know the truth. We can state the truth. We can live for that truth. We can rest in that truth. We can die for that truth. The things I'm telling you about God made man. Manifest in the flesh. But some of these things are hard for us to comprehend. They're too wonderful. They're too above us even. We know them. but it's hard to grasp fully the wonder of it all, the power of it all. And it's hard for us to comprehend all the indignities and outrages Christ Jesus suffered as this eternal God and as a man, one of us. He suffered them willingly. He suffered from sinful men. He suffered even to the point of being betrayed, wrongfully accused, scourged, and crucified. And by the way, if you would happen to have, I'm sure none of you have, a picture of a laughing Jesus in your home, would you please burn it? First of all, it's idolatry. We're not to make pictures and images of God. And, you know, there are those who want to controvert that. Oh, but he's a man too. He's God manifest in the flesh. And it is wrong to have pictures of God manifest in the flesh. It is idolatry. And I advise you to get rid of them. Get rid of them, get rid of them. And as far as this laughing Jesus, it's a mockery of who Jesus was and what he suffered. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you really think he came to this sinful world and laughed his way through it? You're a spiritual man or woman, I hope. Does it not bother you to see the things, the depravity of the world? Does it not bother you? Of course, your own sinful nature bothers you. But I'm saying Jesus Christ walked through this sinful world and saw this, lived among us. And he didn't laugh through his life here. He was headed for the cross, and he was going to be bearing this great burden of all our sin and all our shame. So if you can find me in the Bible where it says he was a man of laughter, he, as Chuck Swindoll would have us believe, sat around campfires in his spare time telling jokes. That's what he says. You find that for me. I'll tell you what I find. He is despised. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, it's hard to comprehend some things. We accept them, we receive them, we know them, but it's hard to fully comprehend. But it is not hard, or it shouldn't be hard for you, if you're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, to understand Christ Jesus as the church's mediator. I hope that's not hard for you, if you're a spiritual man. I hope it's not hard for you to understand him as a substitute, making a penal atonement as the head of the church. I hope it's not hard for you to understand him being a legal substitute in the matter of obedience, being our atonement in the matter of God's wrath and the law's curse. I hope it's not hard for you to understand the doctrine of imputation, which is very legal, very righteous, very, no matter what the Romanists say, very, very proper and legal and right. But in all things having to do with his death, the scripture that we're looking at says this: worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That Lamb that was slain for us, the ungodly, the unjust, is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy in his perfect obedience. He's worthy in fulfilling all the things he undertook in that covenant of redemption that we spoke of. And this for us men and for our salvation. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 27. Wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? The answer: Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. That is his humiliation. He died that we might live. He came to seek and to save the lost. He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Worthy is that Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now the righteousness which Christ wrought out for his people and the suffering of his soul unto death in his blood atonement was accepted by God. It was accepted by God the Father, the righteous judge. He stood in our place. And the judge accepted this righteousness wrought out, this suffering of his soul unto death. His obedience was perfect and complete, both in keeping the law and his passive obedience on the cross, his active and his passive obedience. And so death then had no claim over Christ. The wages of sin is death. I mean, death had no claim over Christ, and the grave couldn't hold him. Romans 4, verse 25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised because death couldn't hold him, because his obedience was complete and full, because he had met all the obligations he undertook on our behalf. And so death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. He was raised then for our justification. His obedience is complete. That obedience is imputed to us for the purpose of justification when we believe. So Christ Jesus was raised by the power of God. He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God as the church's great high priest. As from there he'll come one day to judge the quick and the dead. Philippians 2 verse 9, wherefore, because of his obedience, because of his suffering for the church and dying for us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 17 verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. You have the assurance, those of you who are in Christ, that you have life. Is Christ raised from the dead? You were raised with him. You were raised with him in the sense that you have the absolute confidence that you too will be raised from the dead, that you too have eternal life. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So this speaks of the exalted, risen Lord Jesus Christ, exalted by God the Father, and worthy to receive, of course, our obedience, our worship, our thanksgiving. Now, this is an anthem of praise, and it can be misunderstood. It can be kind of confusing to receive power. You understand that. Riches. What about wisdom? That might seem confusing. To receive wisdom, then strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Well, it could be misunderstood, but there can be no misunderstanding that Christ is here exalted as the great Redeemer who purchased his people with his own blood, his own blood, his own bloody death. His own suffering in his soul. Suffering in the soul. It was by far the greatest suffering of all. But the death of Christ on the cross then is of preeminent importance. And that's the context of the text. I mean, that's the thing we want to make sure we get. We don't want to start going back and forth and quibbling about, well, I have a little bit different understanding of a few of these things, that to receive power and riches and wisdom, and I think there's, I'll put a little bit different slant on it than you might. No, I want to draw our attention to this. He's worthy. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb, the risen, glorified Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And all power, he said, is given unto me, in heaven and in earth, including all judgment. All judgment. Christ the Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive all power. Christ the Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive all riches, to receive a kingdom. He's a king. He has a kingdom. He reigns over all creation, though not all will bow the knee to him yet. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's worthy to receive all these riches. He's worthy to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And all spiritual blessings, all spiritual riches, which you and I have, come to the church through Christ and by Christ, and these things all belong to our Lord. And we ought to ascribe them as his, so that he might receive our worship, praise, honor, and devotion. He is worthy by virtue of this death of his on the cross. By virtue of that alone, he is worthy. And certainly by God's redemptive design, Christ Jesus is the church's prophet. And so, he's the wisdom. He is the seat and the source of the wisdom which is from above. This honor for him and necessity for us, the risen, exalted Christ has. It's an honor he's received from his Father. It's not that Christ, as the eternal Son of God, is not in possession of all wisdom and always has been. He always has been, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. But after his triumph on the cross, Christ was exalted to the right hand of God. He was raised from the grave by the power of God. And the scriptures say, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption," and we receive it in that context. He is wisdom unto us, and we exalt him for it. We say he's worthy. The lamb that was slain is worthy. The lamb that was slain when raised from the dead was worthy to receive also strength. That is, he has the ability and the might to irresistibly reign and rule. He humbled himself. He made himself of no account. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. But now he claims his rights as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the risen Lord. And he is worthy of this. He has the ability, he has the might in himself to irresistibly reign and rule. And our great Redeemer is worthy to receive the highest honor. Honor, the highest honor, the highest adoring esteem from men and angels. Has not the Father honored him before men and angels? Jesus, who suffered and died to bring many sons to glory, is worthy to receive glory. He died to bring us to glory. He's worthy to receive glory from the heavenly host, from the whole ransom church of God in heaven and on earth. He is worthy to receive our homage, our praise, our adoration, which is what that means in that context. And finally, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive blessing. Blessing. He's worthy to receive blessing, thanksgiving and fervent praise. Thanksgiving and fervent praise. He's worthy. Now, the essential truth of this text is, what we're looking at today is that the Lamb is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy that we would ascribe to him, that we would acknowledge his worthiness and ascribe to him power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Give him what he's got to do. And the things we do, the way we live our lives, how we praise him, how we worship him. Worship him for these things. Recognize these things. The Lamb is worthy of all he possesses in heaven and on earth, in time and in eternity, in his person and through his offices. The Lamb is worthy. And we ought to acknowledge the riches of his glory and worship him with praise and thanksgiving and obedience. Worship him with your obedience. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. These all rightly belong to the Lamb which was slain. This is what we have to acknowledge and understand. He was slain. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all he possesses by virtue of his Godhead and his faithfulness. Though he made himself of no account, yet all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. And now he's exalted to the right hand of God. Though he joined to his deity the nature of a man and suffered and died, let no one treat him as a mere man. He truly is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the great eternal I Am, and he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all we have, all we possess, all we can give. He is worthy. How little we give him of what we are, of what we possess, of who we are. How much do we give him? How much do we give him? He's worthy. For the sake of our souls and the glory of God, Christ has fulfilled his covenant commitment to humble himself and be obedient unto death, even unto the death of a cross, a bloody death, which brought with it a black depth of almost unbelievable suffering in his soul. And so worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 4 verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And again in Revelation 19 verse 1, And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Recognize this. Ascribe these things to Him. Worship Him for these things. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now we make application. Now, I have a question, and I'm going to put it to you in a very, very simple fashion. We say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What think ye of Christ? Is He worthy? The context of our text is the worthiness of Christ Jesus crucified. This is what we're looking at. Christ crucified, His death. He is worthy of all these things we've talked about, or all the things the Scripture talks about, because of that death alone. Now, He is eternal God. He is worthy of these things as eternal God, but we're talking about His death, and He is worthy because of this death. Now, it's one thing to say with our lips that this one who suffered and bled and died for me, the Lamb that was slain, is worthy of all power and riches and wisdom and honor and glory and blessing. But what think ye of Christ? What think ye of the Christ who bears in His very body the marks of His suffering and dying for you and for me? For all who are in Christ. What think ye of that Christ? What's He worthy of? Now I know what other brethren in other times and other places thought of this Savior who redeemed them from sin and death and hell with His own blood. I know what they thought He was worthy of. They thought Him worthy of their obedience and devotion. They thought Him worthy of being more than a part-time Savior, a part-time Lord, a part-time King. They thought Him worthy of all their love, all their obedience, all their devotion, even if it meant sealing their testimony of Him with their own blood. That's how worthy they thought He was, this one who died for them. And I know how worthy Christ is held to be by our brethren in the Muslim and communist countries today. But how worthy do we hold Him to be? What do we think of Christ? When I say, what think ye of Christ? I speak to myself as well. What think ye of Christ? You and I say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Well, don't we need then to soberly consider the depth of His physical, and by far more importantly, the spiritual suffering He endured on the cross? Shouldn't we look at that? There's so much to this death on the cross. There's so much to what He did. His righteousness, of course, is so important as we look at His law keeping. But I'm just saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. His death, just His death. The death of the Son of God on the cross. Don't we have a pressing need to remember that this was the King of glory, the eternal I Am, who assumed flesh and blood, our nature and a soul, in order to endure such pains and torments of body and soul on our account? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Our worship and praise, true. Is that all? Some worship and praise, a little here, a little there, a little on the Lord's Day. Is that it? He's worthy to receive that? Philippians 2 verse 8 says, And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself and became obedient. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive our obedience in all things, to seek to obey Him in all things. Is He worthy of that? What think ye of Christ? Is He worthy? Colossians 1 verse 20. And having made peace, it says, through the blood of His cross. Peace with God for us through the blood of His cross. We're saying worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now this Lamb that was slain, who made peace through the blood of his cross for us, says this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now there's a sermon in every text I'm putting before you. As I want us to consider, we say worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What does that mean? What is he worthy of? I'm just putting the text before you, the various scripture verses. I won't linger long on them. They're pretty compelling and convicting, I would think, to a spiritual man, a Christian. I mean, I don't know about the one that's not saved, obviously. He might be able to make up any number of different meanings for it, maybe. But this one who made peace for us through the blood of his cross says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, we say. Worthy is the Lamb who suffered and died and poured out his life blood on the cross in anguish, bearing my sin and propitiating it and bearing the shame of my sin. Did he not suffer a great shame before the whole world? And what? Before the Father, bearing my filthy sins, your filthy sins. Now, is the one who made peace with God for us through the blood of his cross worthy enough that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him? Is he worthy enough that we would eschew the world and the things of this world? Is he worthy enough that we would seek to be true pilgrims and strangers in this world, a sanctified, separated people, seeking to serve and glorify God as he did? And even be reproached for his sake, even persecuted? We say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You answer the question for yourself. Ponder these things. Think about these things. Galatians 5 verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. How worthy? Is he worthy enough, this Christ crucified, that we would seek to crucify all the affections and lusts for worldly and even ungodly things? Is he worthy enough? And I'll tell you what, in this day and age, the first thing that a lot of you Christian ladies might think of is those men. Yes, yes, they've got to crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. There's so many things out in this world, you know what I'm talking about. You know that there are women in the Church of Jesus Christ who have more lusts, and they're outwardly, they present a facade of being a godly woman. And no, they might not be lusting after some of the things the men might have to wrestle against. But men are wrestling against it, at least, maybe. But there's more women in the Church of Jesus Christ whose hearts are filled up with lusts for things. Silly women, led astray by all sorts of lusts. It may not be the one sort of lust, but there's lust for other things. Other things. A certain kind of a life. A certain kind of, well, you can fill in the blanks. I'm not going to do it for you. Less for worldly things. Less for a certain way of life, or for certain things, certain friends, certain attention, certain worldly things, certain physical things, certain... They're filled with less. Filled with affections they shouldn't have. They don't submit themselves to the Word of God. And so, men, women, me, you, all of us. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. How worthy? Will we set about to crucify the flesh? He was crucified for us. Will we fight that good fight? And not just shrug our shoulders and say, well, can only do so much. God is able. God is able, and he looks at the heart. Is the heart right? Is the heart right? Are you willing? Is he who was crucified worthy enough that we would seek to crucify all the affections and lusts for worldly and even ungodly things? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, for ye know the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ left the glory and pure happiness of heaven and humbled himself and became one of us. He left all that. He was perfectly happy in heaven and lived with the Father, the Son, with great glory and pure happiness. And he came to earth, became one of us, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, in order to redeem us from sin and death and hell with his own lifeblood. For our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich, heirs of a heavenly eternal kingdom, children of God, the beneficiaries of all the spiritual blessings that flow to us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Is he worthy? Is he worthy enough that you would seek after this spiritual treasure? These heavenly things he purchased for you with his own blood? I mean, is he worthy enough that you'd follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? Is he worthy enough that you would esteem the riches of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt? Is he worthy enough? Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We sing, let goods and kindred go. Is he worthy enough that you would seek to even follow him in the sense of making sure that you're not involved in evil communications which will corrupt your good morals? Oh, I'd be poorer then because I wouldn't have this acquaintance or this friend. What? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It says in Luke 9, verse 51, I feel so inadequate to press this home as I read these verses. I feel like, well, we should have prepared a sermon on every one and done a whole series. But let the Word do the work in your heart, if you are indeed in Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Luke 9, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is the Lamb that was slain. When it was time for him to go to Jerusalem and offer himself up as a sin offering for us, what did he do? He steadfastly set his face to go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, you say with your lips. But what does your life say? What does my life say concerning the worthiness of Christ? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Do our works testify of that? Are we steadfast in the faith, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's what we say. What do we do? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to redeem his church with his own blood. That's why he was slain, to redeem his church with his own blood. And Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lamb that was slain loves his church. His death testifies of his love. You say the Lamb that was slain is worthy. How worthy is this Lamb? How worthy is he? There is the invisible church, and there is the church visible. Church, from a Greek word, ekklesia. It means called out. That is the whole church invisible, called out. Those born again by the power of God. Called out assembly. That's the physical church, assembling together. Christ loves this church. He loves his church. He loves each and every one who constitutes his church. He died for them, but he died for the church together, all of it. He loves the church. He uses the church. He works through the church. He ministers through the church. He glorifies himself through the church, through her government, through her form, through her function, through her ordinances, through her work. He loves his church. He died for his church. You say the Lamb that was slain is worthy. How worthy? Is he worthy enough for you to love his church? Some Christians, if they love their spouse the way they love Christ's church, probably be a short marriage. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Is he worthy enough for you to love his church? He died declaring his love for her. How do you live declaring your love for her? Jesus Christ is that cornerstone, that chief corner, the stumbling stone. The Jews wouldn't accept him. The builders at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, wouldn't accept him. They stumbled over him. They wanted a political king. They wanted to restore, really, their kingdom. They weren't concerned with the kingdom of God. They stumbled over him. They could not accept this Savior suffering for sinners. They could not accept that they could not work out their own righteousness, that it must be worked out by Christ. And so he became the chief cornerstone. Elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I say he loves his church. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. And there's a foundation of elders, of prophets and apostles. And then there are pastors and elders, and there is a government. He is the chief corner. Now, you've heard the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But I'm telling you, the chief cornerstone was mortared in place with his own blood. The Lamb that was slain said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Is he worthy enough for you to help build his church? Pray for it. Build it. Be faithful rather than discouraging and weakening the hands of the builders. Is he worthy enough? Is he worthy enough? The church is to be the city set on a hill, the light of the world. Is he worthy? You say he's worthy. He died for his church. He loved his church. He's worthy because he was slain. Well, show it then. Show it then. Don't say it. Show it. Do it. You say with your lips, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But what does your commitment or lack of commitment to his beloved blood-bought bride say? Does it show you to be a hypocrite and a liar? We need to consider these things. All of us. I need to consider these things. My commitment needs to be deeper and deeper and deeper. And I will tell you exactly what I think the Word of God says our commitment to Christ needs to be. I will tell you. And I will not hold anything back. Christ loved his church. I love the church of Christ. And I mourn for the contempt she's treated with. And I won't stand quietly by and watch it. I won't. So, you know, that's the kind of church we are. That's the kind of pastor I am. And I'm not changing. Because it's the right thing to do. I may not always express myself in the right way, but it is the right thing to be and do. I'd rather be without a church than to not love the church. Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. He suffered and died for me. I say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I want to show he's worthy by loving this same church that he died for. Now let me just share one more point or two maybe. We're talking about this Christ crucified. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This speaks of Christ, his person, and his redemptive work. His person, his redemptive work. These are the doctrines of Christ. Christ Jesus and him crucified. Christ Jesus, this one who came preaching the gospel and died fulfilling it. Is he worthy? You say he's worthy. Is he worthy? This Christ Jesus, who is building his church even now, this Christ Jesus who ordained his church, its form, its government, having us meet on the Lord's Day, giving it pastors and teachers and evangelists. Is he worthy? Paul determined not to know anything among you, he says, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Are you determined to know Jesus Christ, his person and his work, which is preached in the church?
to the fullest extent you can, then do you faithfully attend to the preaching of His Word by those who He has given the church as pastors and teachers? You answer the question. Do you?
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What does your life say?
Will you join me also in proclaiming the gospel of Christ? The church needs to get the gospel out to the world. He's worthy. He's worthy. He was slain. This is the gospel. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we ought to determine to make that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, make Him known to others. He's worthy. He's worthy. When we come together, is he worthy of the Christian to give his tithes and offerings to the church, to build her up so that she can go out into the world and share this gospel and contend for the faith? Is he worthy? Is the church worthy of that love? Well, Christ Jesus died for her. He loved her that much. We ought to love her. And loving her, love Him more. Now, one last thing. And if I get intense, it's because I'm speaking about the one who suffered and died bearing my filthy sin. All of them. All of them. And all of the shame before God. And so we have an obligation to honor Him and bring glory to Him. And not be pleasers of men. Now, you say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. How well do you know Him? How well do you know Him and the power of His resurrection? Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Paul was always seeking to know Christ more and have the power of the resurrection of Christ working in his life. More and more and more. In his life, in his heart, through him. And so that's the apostle. Do we say the same thing? We say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain and is risen. And do we determine to know him and the power of his resurrection? But perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps you don't know Christ Jesus at all. I mean, perhaps that's the explanation of those who would be cold, inconsistent, uncommitted, and unspiritual. None of us think that we're perfect. The more we get closer to Christ and we know Him, the more we see what we really are, and pride just evaporates like summer snow. And we realize the depth of the sin of any kind of pride, thinking, well, I don't do that anymore, or I never did do that, so I'm something special. I'm a good person. Well, there's none truly good but God. But perhaps if you're cold, you're inconsistent, you're uncommitted, you're unsettled, your heart is all in turmoil all the time, you're unspiritual, you hear the word preached, you don't apply it, maybe you don't know Christ. You say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Maybe you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Maybe you've never been quickened to life by the Holy Ghost, by grace through faith. Well, no wonder you would treat the Lord Jesus Christ with such contempt. I mean, you would so flippantly just treat Him with contempt, because you have no fear of God at this point in your life. You see? You say, I'm a Christian. You're cold. You're inconsistent. You're careless. You're not committed. You're holding back the things you have. He was made poor for you. You're holding back the things you have from Him. But see, you don't even know you're treating Him with contempt. You're so wrapped up in yourself. But, oh, I have this problem. Or, oh, this is... But you don't understand. No. Don't talk to me. Because I will turn my back on you. Just like that preacher did, we were told about from Mr. Hamilton. I'll say, Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. You're cold. You're unconcerned. You're careless. You're not committed. You haven't picked up your cross. You're not even trying to pick up your cross. You don't know what that means. Because you haven't been washed in the blood of the Savior. So that's why. You thought you could call yourself a Christian, a follower of the Lamb that was slain, but you walk so unworthily of Him. And that's why. Because you don't know Him. You've not been washed in His blood. You've not experienced the power of His resurrection. You walk unworthy of Him. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle says that we always pray for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, that you'd walk worthy of the calling. Worthy of the calling to serve and follow the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy also to pronounce eternal damnation on you if you're not in Christ. If you go on out of Christ. If you continue to walk carelessly and don't realize, that's because you don't have the power of God working in your life. On that great day, He is worthy to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed," into that eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because He suffered and He died and He wrought out a righteousness that can be yours. It can be yours if you'd seek Him, if you'd humble yourself, if you'd understand your need, if you'd look unto Christ. Look unto me. Look unto me, all ye ends of the world, and be ye saved. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Praise God. I don't mean to discourage anyone. I want to encourage God's true people. That God helps us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But again, there it is. Christ who strengthens us. Not through ourselves. We fall so short, but we fall less and less shorter if we keep seeking after Him. He encourages us. And when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us with what? The blood of Christ. He applies the atonement of all unrighteousness. Let's pray, and then we're going to have the Lord's table.